So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Time to play the game. Time to play the game!
Brought to you by MGM Radio, home of PoliticalPolitics.com as well. You know, as always, we just have so much to talk about. We can never get enough. I tell you, well, you know what? I'm going to do that a little bit different tonight for you. Nothing happened in the world today, folks. We don't have a show. We're just going to sit here.
All right.
And
we can talk about baseball and rugby and fun things.
You guys know that voice. Welcome, Mr. Ed Martin. How are you, sir?
Feeling my age today. I'm telling you, the workload keep going up, and the temperature goes up, and the humidity goes up, and you know that's those moments when you're like, I'm getting too old for this crap.
You're starting to sound like me.
As my grandfather, who worked all the way up into his 80s, used to say, he said, "Yeah, well, get over it. Your ass is tied to the saddle. You ain't getting off." You know.
Yeah, starting to sound like me, man. I tell you, you know, you're not supposed to be that way. But remember, you still play rugby and all that stuff. I figured out a long time ago that ain't for me anymore. So, you know, be careful there. I don't want you to break a hip or anything, you know. you know, I tell you,
after 25 years, if I get away with, like, you know, I shouldn't say it, but I've been saying it for years. Like, hey, no bad broken bones yet. And everybody's like, oh, man. You're jinxing yourself. Like, no, I've been saying that for about 10 years. I don't believe in that. You know, it's going to happen. I got health insurance. We'll get it taken care of.
You are lucky. I've had more broken bones than I care to admit. And, you know, it's not easy to heal from that. Broken bones, surgeries, you name it, man.
We start talking things like broken noses and ears that are, you know, partially torn off and broken knuckles and you know, little broken bones in the foot. Yeah, I've had plenty of those. Just, you know, I'm either lucky or have a real dense major bone structure. I don't know.
Well, you know, I think you're probably lucky because I, yeah, I don't want to turn this into the Ed Springsteen Medical Hour, you know, and I can't use my radio voice, you know. You're listening to the smooth sounds of the Ed Springsteen Show. I'm not allowed to use that because we do news and politics here, but, I, you know, so, sometimes you are lucky and you might be one of those people. Myself, I played Superman way too many times, and I paid a price for it in the last 10 years.
Well,
and it's just
I've told all the young guys, I'm 50 now, so I've been playing league rugby since 88, and it's like we're gonna get to 50. I said 60, no way.
Well, just let me know when you need them, my friend, because I got a whole assortment of assorted size crutches and canes and all kinds of neat stuff.
Oh,
I mean, we got
shoulder
harnesses.
Make no mistake. Make no mistake. I have a whole bag full of different braces. You know, just neoprene braces. I got the ones with the plastic reinforcement. It just depends on what I feel like on a given day. Sometimes I just put a jumper brace on. But oh no, I've got a bag of knee braces. I'm not an idiot. You know.
Well, there you go. There you go. I live with the damn things. You know, Ed, things like that make me angry. When I get hurt and things like that, I always get angry because I feel like I've done something wrong. You know, but there's going to be a lot of people that are probably going to need some foot braces, some ankle braces, some knee braces, because there's a lot of people in Louisville right now who are kicking their TV sets and slamming their phones against the wall thanks to our new Time Warner. You know, how'd you like this?
I heard about that.
Yeah. Apparently, you know, Time Warner, as we know, Time Warner bought out Insight, and they've been taking their sweet time about switching everything over. So what they started doing is doing it in segments. Well, last time, the first thing they did, I should say, was yesterday. Yesterday they switched over their phone service, the Insight phone service. Now, if you have Insight or now Time Warner Cable, you know, you use a phone service and everything else. They make you go through a modem for your phone, your cable, you know, your internet. Everything is all through one modem now. And you're required to have it or you just can't get their phone service. They won't allow any other way. So apparently they had a lot of people, thousands of customers, lost their service yesterday, lost their phone service. And when they use cell phones and everything else to call in, apparently they were forced to wait 35, 40 minutes and longer. To exasperate that problem, you know, WDRB, their guy called over there, David Scott, WDRB's David Scott, decided he was going to call the customer service for himself. He was on the phone for 30 minutes waiting, and he finally gave up, and he went in and called their spokesperson, Mike Hogan, direct, which he can do because he's media, right? And, you know, Hogan is out there trying to play the game, you know, volume's up, but we're going to bring in more staff, blah, 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 blah. The problem is, next week on Monday, Time Warner is going to switch out their email and the internet service. So here's a fair warning to our listeners. If we are not on the air Monday night, you can thank Time Warner probably because they are notorious for this around the country. When they switch services to Time Warner after they take over cable spots, they seem to have a major problem every time they do it. So get ready for some of these things. But what do you think about that, Ed? You would think you're paying this kind of money for service,
well,
thing in the world.
I'm feeling real good about being with Dish and AT&T right now, to be honest with you.
Well,
of course, when it rains, like I said, I'm not in the boondocks, I'm on satellite, so when it rains, it doesn't even have to be a storm on the TV. Just goes, it's like, oh, well, we still have books, you know, we'll be all right. I'm going to wait to see how it plays out. It is a massive switchover, and listening to their spokespeople on the radio right before I called in, yeah, they were saying a lot of people were having problems. They were more because, yeah, maybe somebody, you know, the classic didn't read the instructions type of thing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we'll find out. Yeah, the 35 minutes, totally off the hook as far as, you know, customer service. I mean, you knew it was coming. You knew it was coming, so you should have staffed up. You should have been ready. But, you know, as to the exact nature of the problems, we'll, you know, wait and see how that happens. And in the meantime, just being thankful that I'm not affiliated or serviced by Time Warner in any way, shape, or form. I love my carriers.
Well, one of the reasons I switched, to Insight was because of what you're talking about, rain clouds with satellite. Because I had DirecTV for a long time. And, you know, if somebody spit in the wind, it seemed like, and it created any kind of cloud cover, you didn't have service. So I went to Insight to get more secure. And, of course, that hasn't worked out as well as I thought because it's one of the most hacked places I've ever been through. But as far as the service is concerned, it's been fairly consistent. And I'm thankfully one of those people yesterday because my office phone and everything else runs through Insight. And I'm thankful that, you know, I didn't have any problems. But apparently there were a lot of people that were. And we probably got somebody on the phone right now already wanting to talk, so they might be wanting to gripe about it too. 805 number, you're on the air.
Hey, Ed, what's up?
Ed, Mayo, how are you, sir?
I'm pretty good. Well, I'm just kind of curious. You probably know more about this than I do. I just heard a little. We'd still have Insight in Time Warner because, what was it, Fisher, when Insight came time for it to renew its business license with the city of Louisville, he tried saying, oh, well, you need to give, like, all the schools and, you know, any Jefferson County office free cable. And Insight was like, we can't do that. And they said, well, we won't renew your business license. So Insight said, oh, okay, we'll just, you know, let it go. And Time Warner bought them.
Well, that actually was one of the biggest things, Mayo. You're absolutely right. You know, because Insight traditionally had been giving those services for free. The Metro Channel TV was free, so your Metro Council meetings and all that run on Channel 25 were free. You know, and they've given so much free service to the city that this gang of thieves and this gang of welfare recipients, we call elected politicians because they are welfare recipients, you're right. They were griping about that. So they ended up selling to Time Warner. And, I really don't know what the final details are with Time Warner on that particular situation because I know they had to negotiate with that. And I would venture to say that they're still getting their free cable. The city is. I'm not sure if that's the exact case or not, so if somebody knows, call me, let me know, because I really didn't follow up on that story. I just, you know, I'm used to the way they were playing around with Insight, and I just let it go. So, you know, don't give me more credit than it should, man. I don't know everything, all right? I know a bunch, but I don't know everything, but I appreciate it, Mayo. You know, getting back to topic, you know, so we've got this mess going on with Time Warner. Next Monday, I think, is going to be huge. I really do. I think next Monday is going to be huge when they actually switch over the internet and the rest of their service. You know, it's going to be fascinating because even email, a lot of people rely on email, and anybody who's had Insight all these years has had Insight BB for their email. And so, you know, when you lose that email, it's like the government tapping into your Verizon cell phone, man. You don't like that. That's your contact. So it's going to be interesting when people can't get on Facebook next week because of the same problem.
Maybe if they can't route it through Time Warner, maybe they can route it through the NSA. Who knows?
I'm glad you brought that up because we're going to get to that in just a little bit. A couple other stories going on right around this place, man. We've got a judge now finally questioning Jefferson County Attorney's Traffic School. I have got to tell you guys, Michael Connell's office had a ruling last year. It wasn't Michael Connell's office. The state decided that the county attorneys can actually offer their own traffic school, a county-run traffic school, so that people who have traffic tickets or things like that don't have to go to court. So these county attorneys have all the discretion in the world. For those of you who don't know, I mean, a county attorney has all the discretion in the world, Commonwealth attorney, same thing, on whether to dismiss charges against anybody for anything or try the case. You know, they played this game with me for 10 months. We'll actually be getting into details. We mediated Monday. We got a settlement. Thousands of dollars just got paid from the city because of an illegal arrest on me in July. And we'll discuss that going forward. But one of the things that happens here, the county attorney's office uses that office and abuses that office. Michael Connell does it. Former Commonwealth attorney Dave Stingle does it. Or did it. You know, I'm not sure if the new Commonwealth attorney does. I haven't found him yet doing it, which is actually pretty good to him. But what they do is they go in and they harass the hell out of you. And they try to force you to cop a plea to anything and everything they deem necessary. Well, now when it comes to traffic cases, the county attorneys throughout the state have been given the green light. The Kentucky Attorney General agrees with the law. Kentucky has said that, you know, you don't have to take these cases to court. So people like Jefferson County Attorney Michael Connell has started his own traffic school. Now, if you get caught in a traffic incident like speeding or something like that, you can take an online course that you're paying Mike O'Connell's office to do. You're going to pay his office to take an online course. You never go to traffic court. You're not stuck with court fees and court costs and things like that. And the problem is Judge Bailey Smith, one of the judges who has a major problem with this, and I kind of agree with this, because here's her contention, or Judge Bailey Smith contends that, you know, that court costs, you know, that it's not necessarily the court costs involved in the prosecution of the case. That's between the court and the defendant, not the county, the prosecution, or anything else. That's between the court and the defendant. In fact, in a lot of cases, a lot of people go before the judge, and, you know, they get their charges dismissed and everything else, never have to pay a dime for court costs. Court costs are not automatic. A judge makes that principal decision. However, when you look at County Attorney Michael Connell's traffic program and other county attorneys across the country, these things are pretty clearly nothing more than a diversion program. Now, any diversion program, you guys can think David Whitlock, if you will. You can think that name, if you will. He's been given diversion three times. Any diversion program in this state has to go through court. It's a court overlooked program. You know, you run it through the courts. The diversion program is adhered to through the courts. If you don't follow through with diversion or do what you're told, you know, then the judge yanks your diversion away, puts you in jail. Anyway, that kind of a deal. These traffic schools, I think I agree with Judge Bailey Smith, are nothing more than diversion programs. But what it does, and what's the scariest thing is, it gives Michael Connell and other county attorneys the opportunity to basically hold you hostage for a fee. The courts don't get to decide whether you're innocent or guilty or anything else. Michael Connell decides whether you're going to go to his traffic school or not, and he might keep the charges open against you until you finally agree to, just to get it behind you. Have you heard anything about this story yet, Ed?
I have to laugh when I hear the story because not too awful long ago, a person came up to me who had a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in a bit of a pickle. And he said, I heard something about a traffic school or something that I could, you know, make it go away because I really don't need this one. And that's just, piece of cake. I said, you can either pay a fixer or lawyer to go in there and BS the way through it and wink at the judge and make it go away. Or you could just go to click this website.
right.
And you can basically pay them to make your ticket go away. I said, not saying that's right, but yeah, you know, you don't even have to really argue your case. You just have to grease the former Commonwealth attorney a little bit. And so, I think it's too, and granted, this individual had a few tickets on them, and they probably needed to go to court, and they probably needed to get stared down by the judge, you know, and get that little finger pointing that they got. But I don't think he did. I think he just went online, did what he did, and it's like, yeah, cool, done, you know.
Well,
he's in the ignition, let's drive fast again.
And that's what a lot of people are doing. Now what the problem here is, and I think one of the reasons that judges like Judge Bailey Smith are upset about, I think one of the reasons they're upset is you don't have any mandated court costs. So these traffic schools that Michael Connell is now running out of his office, you know, he's getting all the money. So, you know, the judges aren't getting the money in the judiciary as part of their budget anymore. So it's costing them budget money. So I think that ultimately it's always about money anyway, but I think ultimately in this case that's part of it. However, my big problem is, I mean, when I look at Michael Connell's office, I mean, let me be very clear here. I was illegally arrested on July 26th of last year. I've got an apology letter from the chief of police. I've got an apology letter from the prosecutors. I've got all this other stuff from all these people, okay? And yet Michael Connell's office, who has all the authority to dismiss the case outright because it was a fraudulent case, decided to keep it open until mid-April. Only when we finally got a trial date and stood in front of the judge and they realized that I wasn't going to cop a plea for them, they dismissed the charges outright because they didn't have a case. So what this concerned me with is, based on my own experience, these guys like to play games, and anytime you've got an arrest, folks, anytime you've been arrested for anything or anytime you get into anything like traffic ticket or anything else, you know, we've got a record of that that's on your record. So if you're in the middle of looking for a job and a place runs a background check, for example, you know, you just jeopardize that. for me personally, I usually work a job to help fund this whole show we call MVM Media, you know, and it helps offset the cost. And so one of the things that happened with me is, for example, because of the arrest, I haven't been able to pass a background check. Now, sometime in the next 2 or 3 weeks, it'll finally be expunged, and I'll be able to go back to working somewhere. Everything will stay the same. You guys won't know a difference because most of you guys didn't know I did that anyway. But I'm worried about what power and control this gives Michael Connell's office, Ed. That's the thing that concerns me the most. You know, it's basically, you know, I'm for sale for hire. And that's not what justice is supposed to be about. Right or wrong?
No, and you know, and to your point, granted, I hire people. Criminal records are not a problem most of the time, depending on what you did.
Well, if it's an open record, it's a problem.
If somebody came to me and had an open case, you know, and they had to say, you know, yeah, I've got an open case, I'd probably have to look at them and say, well, you know, I wish you all the luck on your case, but, you know, I sometimes refer to work as a no-drama zone. I said, you need to, you know, get that worked out, put that behind you, and then come put an application in. Because right now, as an employer, I can tell you, I just look at something and say, well, you know, I want to believe your side of the story. I would just, now what I'm looking at as an employee, it's going to, every other day, you say, I got to go meet my lawyer, I got to go to court, or I got to go meet with somebody. It's like, it's not a good way to start off, so. Yeah.
No, and,
I mean,
and then what
if they're sandbagging the right to a speedy trial, they could definitely mess with people.
Well, and that's exactly it. And potential employers, I mean, I was turned down from even finishing an application process on two different occasions over the last 2 months because I had this open arrest sitting on me, this open charge sitting on me. I mean, what I faced was up to a year in jail. You know, potential employers don't want to hire somebody if they think they're going to lose them. You know, a month after they hire them, they're going to go to jail because
you don't know
how this will work. You know,
if just every other week you got to.
Well, that's the whole point. That's the whole point. And in this particular case, I just think that this gives the county attorneys too much latitude to allow them to abuse the system as a way to make money for their office. And that's my biggest problem. You know, I like the fact overall that, you know, something as simple as a traffic ticket, you know, running a stop sign or squeaking through a stop sign or, you know, whatever. I mean, if it's not anything major, it's just a simple ticket for traffic. I like the fact that you ain't got to worry about going to traffic school, paying all this money for traffic school, then all the court costs that go along with it, you know, and then it's going to take you 30 to 60 days before you can ever get there. This is something you can get done quick, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate that, and it also saves money. But I don't appreciate the fact that there are no controls in place that will hold the county attorney's offices accountable throughout the Commonwealth. It's not just Michael Connell's office. I just know Michael Connell abuses that system from firsthand experience, and I live in Jefferson County, so he's a great example for me to use. But this applies to all county attorneys throughout the Commonwealth. So this is something that has to be addressed. I'm with Judge Bailey Smith by bringing the questions to the forefront, and we'll address more of this later at LouisvillePolitics.com in an upcoming article, probably tomorrow. You know, but this is something we've got to pay attention to. We've got another situation right here, discrimination suit. This is remarkable to me. There was a discrimination suit filed in December. It was charging the Maker's Mark Bourbon House and Lounge with discrimination. This place is at 4th Street Live. We're familiar with 4th Street Live being nothing but a discriminating place. But Maker's Mark Bourbon House allegedly refused to allow an event because the people who were going to be there for the event were all black. They were all black. The suit was filed by a guy by the name of Andre Mulligan, in late December, and 4th Street Live was a defendant as well. Miraculously, Mulligan claims that on August the 17th of 2012, restaurant officials asked him what ratio of black to white people would be present at the event he was trying to book. Now, that's an immediate red flag, right? That's automatic racism there. They don't have the right to ask you that. Then when we get into that, then we have to look at, you know, when Mulligan told them that all the attendees would be black, and I've got to apologize for the background noise, folks. I've got a couple of dogs visiting with my two dogs, and they're all in there going crazy. But ultimately, when he told them all the attendees would be black, Maker's Mark Bourbon House allegedly told him he couldn't hold the event there. So what the ratio has to do with anything is racist to me to begin with. Interestingly enough, Mulligan dismissed the case, withdrew the case. Any idea why?
I would guess. Yeah.
Do what? Ed? Ed? Well, I guess we lost Ed. I'm kind of curious. I don't understand what happened here.
You went dead air there for a second, Mr. Insight.
Oh, really?
Time Warner, man.
My apologies. I was trying to listen to you, and I couldn't hear you. Okay. You know, but yeah. Andre Mulligan says that, you know, they asked him what ratio he was going to have. Then when he found it was all black, they're going to cancel the event. Then just a couple of months later, he drops the suit. Supposedly him, Maker's Mark Lounge, and Cordes agreed to dismiss the case ultimately, and each side was going to pay their own court costs. Now, if you've got a place that's as racist as 4th Street Live is, you've got the case, clear-cut black and white, sorry about that, folks. What in the hell would possess you to go ahead and drop this lawsuit that's so important? My bet is it got paid off. I don't know. Don't know anything about it. It would have been a settlement, and
I'd say the whole racism thing just doesn't I don't understand people sometimes because, you know, I don't think typically I don't think that higher end bourbons are marketed towards the black community. But by the same token, that's a significant portion of population. It's like, hey, you know, I would have had to look at it and not had any issues and go, well, all right, we're, you know, This is a new market for us. This doesn't happen that often. It's like, great. It's good bourbon. I like it. I like bourbon. But, yeah, it just amazes me on top of everything else, it just amazes me the dimwit of a manager that would have even asked that question in 2012.
Well, I agree. Now, this is allegedly, okay? I mean, we have to use that word allegedly because the case never went forward, so nothing's been proven. But, you know, it's situations like this that are disturbing. And I tell you, I believe that there was a settlement made. I can't prove it yet. I will eventually. But I can't prove it today. But I believe there was probably a settlement made. And that's the thing that bothers me the most. Because if this is the thing that disturbs me. We've got people out there that are discriminated against. We've got all these different issues going on. And yet they're offered a dime to shut their mouth and keep it from going public. They'll sign that non-disclosure. Nothing will happen. They'll get theirs, but what about the guy behind you? You know what I mean? That was one of the biggest reasons that I kept everything going for the last, 11 months or 10 months, whatever it's been on my case. I wouldn't just acquiesce and let these guys get away because my case is important because there's other people out there who are going through what I'm going through every day because of an illegal system. You know, and it was the right thing to do. And I guess that's the thing. I don't know how much this guy got. I don't know, you know, what the settlement would have been for, but I find it disturbing that something as serious as discrimination, when you've got somebody, like you said, in 2012 asking, what's the black-to-white ratio? Well, you can't have it here if it's all black because that would ruin our image. You know, we talked about business yesterday and discrimination and things like that, and this to me is a clear-cut example of that discrimination, and nothing was done. We've got another local story I want to get into, then we'll take our bottom-of-the-hour break yet. You know, but as we know, this story is actually from a couple of days ago. As we know, Kentucky had finally got off of their butt and passed the hemp bill, right? So we're looking forward to getting industrial hemp and everything else. Unfortunately, the U.S. Senate is supposed to vote on the farm bill this week. They're supposed to consider the farm bill this week. And the amendment to allow farmers to grow industrial hemp will not be included in that farm bill, and it will not get a vote by the U.S. Senate. In short, what that means is that we're not going to get industrial hemp regardless of what we just passed in Kentucky. How pathetic is that?
Well, we've got two prominent senators, so I don't know why it wouldn't happen. Senators say it's not like they're driving forklifts all day and have no time to read up on stuff to where they could read up and, you know, ask the DEA and a few other people. It's like, hey, you know, what's the deal with this stuff? So, it's pathetic on a number of levels. on a number of levels, and it shows, yeah, it's at least some relative ineffectiveness of our politicians who were up there working for it, but it also it just shows that the in D.C., that in some cases, as people who in Kentucky kept thinking that, well, you know, hemp was marijuana and that there's
right.
no way. I mean, it was an uphill battle in Kentucky. Apparently, we've got the same uphill battle for hemp in Washington, D.C., where all the supposedly smart people are supposed to be.
Well, and that's true, and you know, it's just sad that we have to continue going down this road. You know, we've got Rand Paul in their defense. Senator Rand Paul and Senator Mitch McConnell said they will vote against the farm bill just for that reason. You know, so they are standing up. They are standing up for what they believe in. However, you know, I just think that we've gone beyond. You know, we've gone beyond sense and accountability, I guess, for lack of a better word. I don't understand why, if the states want this, you know, we're the ones that are going to take the responsibility for it. I don't understand how the U.S. Congress has the right to supersede states' rights on something like this. I mean, hell, we use industrial hemp every day. Canada's one of their major exports is industrial hemp. 90% of Canadian industrial hemp is imported in the United States. 90% of Canada's industrial hemp is imported here. So if we are importing Canada's industrial hemp, why the hell aren't we allowed to grow it? We're using it anyway. That just makes no sense.
Well, not
to
only
me.
That, not only are we importing Canada's industrial hemp, we're importing everybody else's marijuana too. So you know, I don't
right.
know if they're sitting back thinking, oh, well, this could increase marijuana production. It's like, oh yeah, wouldn't that make the drug smugglers angry? You know,
well,
I don't know where you lose. If somebody says, well, then they're going to start growing marijuana in the hemp. It's like, well, if they do, it's going to decrease the quality of their marijuana. But additionally, would seem to me all that's really going to do from the current situation is somebody else inside the United States borders is going to get some money for growing marijuana.
Right.
You know, they live in this Pollyannic world where, you know, oh, well, if we stop industrial hemp, you know, ooh, maybe next year the war will win the war on drugs. Maybe
right.
maybe this will decrease the amount of marijuana people are smoking. It's like, really? You think?
Well, funnily enough, since you brought up marijuana, that's another interesting part of this equation, because we are finding out now, Kentucky is saying that one of the biggest problems they've got right now with marijuana is not being homegrown marijuana. The biggest problem we've got with marijuana right now is what we are importing from California and these other states who now have medical marijuana laws in place. Apparently, we are importing more marijuana from the medical marijuana states than we are actually growing here at home. So how does that affect anything?
Well, in that case, the medical marijuana people really need to tighten up their game, because if they don't, they're going to lose it. Because at that point, somebody's obviously not using it for medical marijuana. They're buying it as marijuana and shipping it. And that's, that's not the intent. So if you got glaucoma or some other anxiety or something, that's why you're getting the medical marijuana, don't double down and send some UPS or whatever into a state that doesn't have it. That's bad all the way around. It's income tax evasion. It's interstate commerce law violation, and it's basically shooting yourself in the foot if you have medical marijuana, because if it starts coming in and other states complain, feds are going to shut it. You know, they're going to step in and pinch it.
And I'll agree with that. And I think that ultimately is the biggest situation we've got. These guys are so scared of marijuana for some reason. I still don't comprehend this. These guys are so scared of marijuana that they just don't want to open that door. But all they're doing, in essence, is protecting the illegal industry in marijuana. Because if we have legalized industrial hemp here, you know, our farmers have something legitimate to grow. But just as importantly, I just don't understand. I really don't have a good way to explain this. I just find it hard to believe that we have feds who are sitting out there in 2013 that are still concerned with marijuana. I just don't get that, especially when our biggest problem today is we are importing marijuana instead of exporting industrial hemp. It makes no sense.
Yep.
So, okay, we're going to try to head to a break in a second. You're not going to believe this, Ed. We've been talking about Insight, and lo and behold, guess what? We're having a problem with our internet connection right now. Skype apparently is working well, but all the websites are freezing up. That's very interesting.
Either that or a delayed reaction from you using the suit last night.
Yeah, you know, you never know. This is incredible. I'm watching my screen and it's like, you know, I've got two windows open. I usually have about 10. You know, and the internet is running extremely slow or something at this point. I don't know. But we're gonna just continue forward, man. Let's forget about break. We needed to take one, but that's okay. We've got other things going on right now. We can just continue talking. It's
yep.
fine with me.
Yeah,
that's a good point. One of the other things that's going on right now, an interesting story that I saw, former Energy Secretary Stephen Chu. Yeah, you heard me right. Former Energy Secretary Stephen Chu told the San Francisco Chronicle the other day, yesterday I believe it was, in an interview, that more green energy companies that got government-backed loan guarantees are going to go bankrupt. Yep, you heard me right. They're going to go bankrupt. All these places that are getting these government loan guarantees are going to end up bankrupt because they can't deliver. They can't deliver.
What?
So Chu says they can't deliver on the products. So Chu says we're going to have a few more bankruptcies. You know, and when we look at the bankruptcies we've had, let's look at Solyndra and things like that. You know, Solyndra basically got 3 cents on the dollar when they bankrupted and liquidated. They got over $500 million in our tax money. You can key these green energy companies back to Nancy Pelosi, her husband, her brother, her family. These guys have made hundreds of millions of dollars in federal loans that we'll never see. You know, there's a lot there to think about. So we've got to start really paying attention to what's going on with the green loan programs too, especially considering we've got this so-called sequester. And we're trying to save money, but we're giving this money out hand over fist. Any reason why?
Well, they're still fixated on it. You know, having done some seminars on a form of green energy, you know, one of the biggest problems is the scale that they're all trying to force the issue on the scale, and we're not ready for it. You know, they want they want to be able to power X amount of houses with our city with big turbine, whatever, They want to, they want to build solar farms that can do X amount. It's the government pushing to try to artificially bend the curve. I mean, I think we'll get there. I think there's a lot of common sense, whether it's biomass or like solar panels or even wind. But I think it needs to go up, where it works, where it's extremely efficient right now, but the government is just trying to ram it down everybody's throat. So they're going in where they're going in trying to prop a company up because company needs propping up because there's no real demand for what they're doing right now. There's some demand, but not on the scale that they're going at. So,
it's interesting to note that
getting back to that and the things I think of all the documents I signed. And one of the things we need to get at some point is with joint several liability. And, anybody will take a whole bunch of money from the government if they can say, well, the corporation lost it, I didn't, And their salaries and their personally, they're okay. I think you mentioned Pelosi and other people for this stuff. Any company goes bankrupt, to get a federal loan ought to be that you pledge your personal assets, every last one of them. So if it goes bankrupt for $500 million and you were paying yourself $2 or $3 million a year, kept that going for 4 or 5 years, that $15 million you got, give it back.
Well, I think you're ultimately right on that, and it's really interesting too because when you look at this green energy, let's be real clear here. We have had We have had a couple of thousand jobs created with green energy. Of course, they've lost them. But, you know, the jobs that are created with green energy are costing us, we the people, it's costing us millions of dollars per job. That's never been what's supposed to be acceptable. I don't understand. But we're going to have to get into that. Looks like everything's finally starting to come back here, Ed. I do want to take a quick break and kind of regroup because I wanted to move on to some other things, and we're kind of just killing time now. And I apologize to our listeners for the flow of the show. This has really been kind of strange to me. We're going to take a quick break, come right back so we can finish strong. Just stay tuned to the Inspiration Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Politics.com. You can join our RSS feed. You can listen to replays of the show at Stitcher Radio, iTunes, you name it, we're there. I kind of want to get into a couple of things, Ed, before we have to wrap up here, because, and I apologize, we had a few minutes there. It was kind of really weird because all the tech went away, and I don't know why. I was griping about Insight and Time Warner and how their internet and the phones were all messed up. Well, I think they just proved me right, so we'll figure that one out in a little while. In the meantime, Ed, this whole NSA is really going crazy. The National Security Agency, as we know, has been sitting there and illegally, in most people's eyes, stealing records on American citizens. What can we really say about that? There is really no legal basis for this, in my opinion, but there's a lot of people who think that it is. Where do you stand on this? I mean, how can you explain it to the people?
Well, make a joke about Animal House. There was a double secret probation court out there somewhere that some judge somewhere said it was okay. So now they're saying it's okay. But, generally, we're going to find out because I'm reading today, too, where the not only is Rand Paul looking to go after him, but the ACLU is filing suit against them for it. Mm-hmm. And then the New York Civil Liberties Union is filing suit. And I think they're just getting started on the lawsuit. So, I mean, it's gosh,
American Civil Liberties Union, hey, welcome to the libertarians. You know, they've been bitching about this for years. You know, and I thought,
sure.
That's on, and it's like, oh, my God, it was right. You know, oh, now we're mad. But, you know, hey, welcome to the party. But I think the, I think we're going to find out. And it's interesting. Like I say, you know, the only thing that distresses me is, of course, we didn't know about it, but a lot of people suspected it. A lot of people knew the mechanics were in place to do it. But until somebody went out on a limb and leaked it and said, hey, this is, you know, there's a Constitution, and if all you can do is count to four, you can get to the Fourth Amendment. You know, this is not right. So, you know, the young man who went out on a limb, I think he was a, you know, ultimately will be a, proven to be a crusader of sorts. But, it's really in the wait and see. Because really, we don't exactly know what they're doing, but we know they were doing it now, and that's a vast improvement over where we were a month ago. You know, because what a disturbing thought. Not for me, but, you know, that they were tracking any weird sites you were going to. Not terrorist sites. They're just tracking your site, and, you know, and they if you had some strange addiction where you wanted to talk to somebody while they sat in a room naked popping balloons or something like that.
Right.
You know, now you know the government knows your weirdness.
What makes this all disturbing, and we'll go back to the phones in a second. I think Mail's back with us and has something to say. But what makes this all disturbing is that one of the things, the NSA has always maintained that, you know, under you know, the DHS, the Department of Homeland Security and all that crap, and all this junk that we passed under Bush gives them the authority to do this. However, they have always argued that under the NSA charter, they are only allowed surveillance on those outside of the U.S. They are to avoid any intrusions into the private communications of American citizens. However, the top secret order that was put out, the one that you're talking about, the secret order, the FBI had filed on behalf of the NSA, demanded that Verizon turn over all its phone records originating in the United States. Okay? All the data, phone records, metadata, non-content data, customer phone calls, everything is only applicable to anything inside the U.S. So they're clearly violating their own charter that they continue trying to hide behind, because this order specifically states that only data regarding calls originating in America are to be handed over. No data between foreigners. That, to me, is the smoking gun, if you will, of what the real key here is and what they're really trying to do, which is spy on Americans. This order clearly tells them to spy on Americans only. Am I misinterpreting this in some way?
No. We've been told for years that it was, they were going to be using a scalpel to go in and mine information against those bad terrorists, you know, pick up the chatter from their satellite phones were doing, you know, they were talking more. But, the guys who said they were going to use the scalpel showed up with a bulldozer.
Well, that's actually true. Mayo, go ahead.
Hi.
Well, I guess we lost him. Okay. I'm sure he'll call back. But that's actually true. And the thing is, I mean, you can't sit here. Our Constitution is quite clear. We have Fourth Amendment for a reason. You know, and that's one of the things that Rand Paul was arguing on last Friday, was basically reinstating and protecting the Fourth Amendment. But here we've got an order signed by a judge that says the NSA can go ahead and spy on Americans, and don't worry about the foreigners. We're not worried about them. So this brings us to some serious constitutional issues, which brings me to Representative Tom Massie. According to CBSNews.com, Tom Massie is joining with Rand Paul and a few other liberty-minded people like Justin Amish out of Michigan. And, you know, these civil liberty advocates, and they're going to start talking about a possible lawsuit on this. Now, Rand Paul already alluded to a lawsuit when he said he wanted 10 million people to join him in a civil lawsuit. And I'm one of those 10 million people who are more than happy to do so. But Tom Massie goes on to say that this is a constitutional issue without a doubt. The Constitution does not allow for broad sweeps of personal data of people who aren't even suspected of doing anything. Now we know that that's happening. this is the smoking gun we've been looking for. But are Americans going to wake up? Are they going to look at this and try to realize what the hell is going on? Or are they just going to sit here and shut their mouth again? I don't know.
Oh, I think they're waking up. It's like you said the other day. they can watch somebody else's rights get pinched. They can watch drone strikes and say, yeah, but I'll never be targeted. All this other stuff. But cell phones are prolific. Internet's prolific. Like I say, hell, even people nowadays even watch TV via the internet. So now they even know what you're doing there, probably. So, That starts getting on to people a little bit. It's just whether you're breaking the law or not. If you're not breaking the law, I'm sure most people are going to have the attitude, well, then what the hell are you looking at me for? And if you are breaking the law, you're thinking, what the hell? You didn't even have a warrant. You mean you guys know who I'm calling? You could possibly use that against me, and it's not the good old-fashioned warrant days? I mean, what's next? You're just going to start having the cops go bust windows out in cars and parking lots looking for stuff?
Guess what?
We're going to a mall parking lot, and we're quarantining it. We're going to inspect every car in the parking lot with a drug dog. And if you can't get a hit, we're going to pop your window out so you can get a better smell. I mean, is that what we're going to?
Well, it really has become that disturbing. Mayo, you're back with us. Go ahead.
Yeah, I can't remember the whole thing. I think I sent it to you and Dale, but it was just a quick little saying. I wasn't when they did away with the Fourth Amendment, I was quiet because I wasn't a criminal. When they did away with the Second Amendment, I was quiet because I didn't own a gun. When they did away with the First Amendment, now all I can do is be quiet.
Yeah, I did get that email. It's been sent around repeatedly around the internet. Ultimately, that's what's happening. I agree that I think to. I believe that that's ultimately what's going on. People don't care as long as it doesn't directly affect them. But by the time it gets to that last man, everything else is gone. What do you do? And I think that that's where we're heading. I don't believe that we can argue that we're not heading that way anymore. When we've got things going on like the Patriot Act, which most of us thought was illegal at its inception, it created the Department of Homeland Security, which gives a bunch of pedophiles the right to go strip search a 5-year-old. And then we've got the FISA Amendments Act, which passed in 2008, FISA being the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. What's interesting about this now, and this is why it needs to be brought up, this is why Tom Massey, Rand Paul, Justin Amash, and a few other people are talking about it. The FISA Amendments Act was actually challenged in the Supreme Court last year. I don't know if you guys are aware of that. It was Clapper v. Amnesty International USA. The plaintiffs, the people who were arguing against this, included lawyers, journalists, all kinds of stuff. They were filing the lawsuit and arguing because their communication with foreign contacts being the key here, were targeted by the U.S. government. So what the Supreme Court did in their ruling earlier this year is they basically just sent it down the road. They said that the plaintiffs had no standing because they couldn't prove definitively that they were the targets of surveillance or would be in the future. Now, what that basically did was say that just because Obama is taking these records, it doesn't mean that he's actually looking at you or going to do anything with you. Well, that's bullshit. If you obtain the records this way, You violated the Fourth Amendment. I don't think there's any other way to do that. And this liberal court, and I'm including John Roberts as part of this liberal court, Bush appointee John Roberts, I might add, has basically said, the government could do anything they wanted to. This was really a serious thing. It basically shut down privacy advocates. Now we've got all this government surveillance going on. And these government officials feel like they're well within their rights to do it. How do we get this corrected? How do we hold the Supreme Court accountable to violating the Constitution's privacy? We don't. So where do we go from here?
Well, part of Nixon's impeachment was, not only lying, but also using the same tactics Obama is using, bullying tactics, using government agencies, the FBI, the IRS, et cetera. If you look at, the impeachment proceedings for Nixon and look at Obama, Obama's done more than Nixon did, second thing, if you look at Obama's speech from 2007, his transparency speech when he was talking against Bush and the Patriot Act, and, we will no longer be, do these type of things and et cetera. Someone had just played it on the air again last night, and he has gone against everything he stated. Call him on
it. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. And you know, right now, Obama, the surveillance by Barack Obama is basically George Bush on steroids. I think you both would agree with that. You know, not bad, you know, considering he's supposed to be the most transparent president ever, right, Ed? But this is really disturbing.
Well, he's getting there now.
Yeah, and the only reason he didn't get it before is because mainstream media was complicit. But now that mainstream media has been targeted to some degree, now they want to act like they want to do their job. And that's probably the most insulting thing to American intelligence I can think of. You know, even Anonymous has leaked a bunch of NSA documents. You know, and I just put a link to those documents in the chat room for anybody that wants to go to the chat room and click on that link. It's in there. You can get a copy of the Anonymous documents and everything else. But it's totally mind-boggling.
Remember, though, when you go to Ed's chat room and click on that link, Big Brother's watching.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. You know, I guess I ought to put a disclaimer at the beginning of every show. I'll have to put a disclaimer up starting tomorrow night or maybe Monday night or something. You know, just remember, when you listen to this show, Big Brother's watching you or something. I don't know. But it is startling, the information that we're getting. Specifically that the National Security Agency continues to say that they're not allowed to focus on Americans, yet they're using a court order that says you can't focus on foreigners and spend all your time focus on Americans. And then we've got Speaker of the House, John Boehner. And folks, don't call me telling me you pronounce it Boehner. I know that. But he's a boner to me. NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden, who reportedly is now in Hong Kong, so he wouldn't get arrested, is now being branded as a traitor by House Speaker John Boehner. He says that by talking about the NSA activities, outing PRISM, and all these other entities, the Israeli databases that we're using, Israeli spies are the ones collecting this data on behalf of the United States, all these things that we put out in the last couple of days. He says that Snowden is a traitor because he has just jeopardized security programs that are designed to help keep Americans safe. This is what the whole game is about, folks. They take away your rights and hide behind safety. I can keep myself safe. I don't need the federal government to do that for me. But it is interesting that Boehner is doing this crap. And, I mean, he's even, you know, even giving Obama credit. He goes on to say that he's a traitor in regards to Snowden. But the president outlined last week that these were important national security programs to help keep America safe and give us the tools to fight the terrorist threat that we face. John Boehner, quit. Resign. Leave. You're not a conservative. You don't believe in a constitution. You're a damn liberal in a daggone sheep's clothing. Get the hell out of office. Ed, go ahead, because this is disturbing to me.
Yeah, you know, the thing that disturbs me is the the big picture. I mean, I think it's Washington is telling us to be afraid. I know damn few people who really give a rat's ass. You know, you're getting on a plane, we make jokes about the TSA. You know, I always tell everybody, if I want to fly, I'm going to go commando, you know. So if they want a strip search, I think we should just do it right there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe wear a kilt, I don't know. But, you know, and the fact of the matter is you sit next to somebody on an airplane, you say, well, somebody starts some crap on this plane, we're getting busy with that. We're going to beat their asses. And that's what tends to happen. You know, somebody gets out of control and passengers pound them into submission. You know, so I think that's most Americans don't care about it. Most Americans who would own a gun or anything like that would say, hey, what? Chill out, man.
I think it's 15
or whatever. Or, you know, my old vintage World War II rifle. Hey, some jihadists come up my driveway. Everybody's got to die sometime. Guess it's their day, you know. I think the American people are ready to rumble. It's like they don't give a rat's ass. They want to pay their bills. They want to see their kids, you know, do well at baseball and school and things like that. And they just want to, you know, just want to hold their job. And it's, you know, it's just some foreign entity comes after us, they'll politely remind everybody the reason Japan did not attack America was because we were bristling with guns. You know, it's like, hey,
It's just a sad day.
You want to try to burn women in the streets or something, try it. It's not going to end real well for you, you know, because the American people aren't afraid. It's the politicians who keep trying to convince us we need to be afraid. but we're not, and we need to get that disconnect. We need to get reconnected at that and tell them to shut the hell up. We're not afraid. You know, we're
not. Well, it's a sad day. It's a sad day when you sit here and you've got Senator Dianne Feinstein, the nut job that she is, a hypocrite that she is. You know, she's chairwoman of the Senate Intelligence Committee. She's saying that Snowden has committed an act of treason. You've got Senator Bill Nelson out of Florida. He's telling you that this is an act of treason. You got John Boehner, Republican. He's telling the whole world that Snowden's actions are a thing of treason. But some very interesting things here to note, folks. One, Snowden has not been charged with anything. Not been charged with anything. So to sit here and go public on this stuff when he hasn't even been charged with a crime is an insult to the justice system in America. But we've come to expect that under Eric Holder's Department of Justice.
Well, not only that, but treason involves, in most cases, aiding and abetting the enemy. What he's done is he's told the American public, hey, I think your Fourth Amendment rights have just been, you know, used for toilet paper, guys. You know, they're...
Well, this is a 29-year-old guy.
And basically the government's playing this game, no blood, no foul. You know, if the referee didn't see it, there's no foul because, you know, and we weren't seeing it. But now that we're seeing it, we're pissed off. So,
well, that's exactly it. Go ahead, Mayo. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Snowden used kids' gloves. I mean, or at least from what I've read, his tech level and security clearance, he could have, I mean, agents' names, direct contact numbers, all kinds of stuff. And he used kid's glove when he released this information as a warning. So, I mean, they may hold off because if he has this information and they try pressing him, you know, he could maybe use it as a bartering chip. I don't know. But for these people saying he's a terrorist, no, he's a patriot. He's saying, hey, your government's spying on you. It's not supposed to. We have the Fourth Amendment, and I'm letting you know this. And hopefully some people, you know, with or in power that have some decency, accountability, morality, or responsibility will do something about it.
Well, and here's some more stuff. Here's some more stuff to think about, too, because John Boehner went on record saying that he's been briefed on the NSA programs, that apparently there's been 22 briefings for members of Congress on FISA that they're trying to use to justify all this monitoring. You know, my question is this. If we're going to sit here and accuse Snowden of an act of treason based on bringing sunshine and transparency to the American people that we've got laws in place to provide us, why aren't they saying the same thing and using the treasonous word about Barack Obama, who has proven time and again that he's committed acts of treason? John Boehner has backed off of that. Is this spy and this information gathering that our government is going through right now into Barack Obama, did they finally have something on John Boehner where now he's acquiescing and acting like he's Barack Obama's best buddy? I don't know. And really, when we get into this, I want to stay in overdrive for just one more minute because I want this story out there. It's really fascinating. I want you guys to go to examiner.com. They're talking about martial law and the White House's silence on it. But over the last several months, U.S. troops and equipment have been seen operating in several cities without any warning. Residents in cities have been waking up in terror to the sight of Black Hawk helicopters buzzing over their neighborhoods, the sounds of gunfire. On Monday, troops took over an abandoned high school in a neighborhood in Houston. You know, they had military helicopters flying over Miami's downtown area last week. Machine gun fire, black-clad commandos rappelling onto rooftops. They had military exercises taking place right in Los Angeles. You know, if you want to see what's going on here, the U.S. military has conducted these urban exercises, as they call them, in St. Louis, Minneapolis, Long Branch, New Jersey, Laredo, Texas, Boston, Massachusetts, Chicago, Illinois, Miami, Florida, St. Louis, blah, 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 blah. Keep going on and on and on. The Ohio National Guard and FEMA have done the same thing in Ohio. And, you know, what's really interesting here is the places that they were targeting, the people that they were targeting as part of this training exercise, were basically conservatives who believe in the right to keep and bear arms. This is very disturbing. How in the hell do they justify these kind of things in neighborhoods, scaring the crap out of residents, unless that is by design? This has to be by design to force people into compliance. I don't think there's any other way around it, Ed.
Well, I would say that, it's got to be an element of terror in there, you know, maybe let people know, it's like, hey, what we're capable of. Because when it comes to training exercises and stuff, I'll tell you straight up, the local police department where I'm at, you see my warehouse, it's a maze. And they, every once in a while, they call up and say, hey, can we train our team there? But you absolutely can. Sure. Well, what are we using? Simunition? And they'll, you know, fill me in on it. And they're, okay, well, give me my gun. And they're like, yeah, and they know what I'm saying. They're like, you know, look, you can go around and search the warehouse with nothing in it, but come on. We'll take a couple of our employees, and a couple of them are pretty well-trained militarily. Go hide in the warehouse, and we'll take it up a few notches for you. We'll make it interesting for you. Well, and there's nothing wrong with that. Why they wouldn't announce it coming in? I mean, you know, that to me is just like, that's asking to get shot as much as anything. If you go in shooting, some dude flips out, he's having a bad night, maybe lives, you know, he's used to somebody, or he might start shooting back, you know? So it just seems to me like for safety reasons and things like that, you would want to do it. You'd want to cooperate with your local police department. Says, hey, you guys be the bad guys. You know, we need some bad guys. Let's get us some, and let's make sure everybody doesn't go totally batshit crazy, and at least let the people in the immediate area know.
Well, it's really disturbing.
This is a drill. It's only a drill.
Well, it's really disturbing. Frances Gerrells lives in Houston. She was in a neighborhood that was under attack, if you will. You know, immediately she said when she saw this, she was thinking the worst. When she heard the gunfire and stuff, she thought the worst. You know, so she calls Isaac Robertson, you know, and tells him, don't come home. We're in a war zone. There's guns. There's shooting. Helicopters flying around the house. All these other things. All because the Army took over the old Carnegie Vanguard High School right there in Houston in a neighborhood. And people thought they were in a war zone. They didn't know the difference. And this is standard procedure now. This is called urban warfare training. This is standard procedure. This is alarming. This is nothing more than our government acting like terrorists to scare the people into compliance. It's a major situation. And I think it's something that we really have to start paying attention to. These questions have been around since at least 2010 that I can think of. And, you know, when you look at this, you know, now mainstream media is trying to do something. Not really mainstream media. Examiner.com is one of our alternative news sites, but at least they're going out there and putting it out there. My thanks to them. So, you know, we've got a lot of things we've got to look at, but Ed, we've really got to look at our time because we are out of it. We're way into overdrive. Final thoughts, my friend.
Well, you know, final thoughts is always say stay cynical, but additionally, you know, listen to what these politicians are saying and look for the between the lines meaning, because as they were saying the other, Paul was saying the other night, got this cognitive dissonance, this cognitive disarray that we're in. We're overloaded. When you said Boehner said that, the first thing I've heard, because, you know, we're good at that, was Boehner saying to me, I sat in on 22 briefings when they were spying on you. I knew they were spying on you. You don't need to know that. I knew it, so it wasn't a secret. Like, really?
I'm in total agreement. I'm in total agreement with you, and that's exactly the problem. You know, that you know, to me, that just reinforces the whole uniparty mindset that we talk about. You know, we continue to scream and holler and moan and groan about illegal surveillance, illegal intelligence gathering, spying on Americans, violations of the Fourth Amendment, all these different things. You know, and the liberal agenda has created that. I mean, you know, there's no doubt that Barack Obama and Bill Ayers are great friends, and Valerie Jarrett of the Muslim Brotherhood, and they're all sitting together in one big party, in my opinion, putting this crap together, and Eric Holder saying, okay, boss, I'll make it legal. Okay, boss, I'll make it legal. All this is going on. We know this. But unfortunately, the uniparty is alive and well. If you need more proof of that, ask yourself why these long-term representatives like House Speaker John Boehner is out there, and now he's playing this liberal game as well. There's no difference. The only people you have out there questioning anything right now are basically your junior reps and junior senators, and Tom Massey, Rand Paul, Justin Amash, and a few others. These guys are new to the game. They understand liberty. They understand the importance of the Constitution. So if you need a clear contrast of what the Republican Party is about today, then you look at the old dog who's just playing the typical party crap so that they can maintain their own self-power, and then you look at a new dog like a Rand Paul or a Tom Massey or Justin Amash and others who are out there saying, this isn't right. I don't think there's any clear indication that the Uniparty is alive and well on the old dog, but hopefully, the new guys are going to finally get some traction and finally do what has to be done to save America.
And I have to throw in there, too. You know, of course, Ron Paul has retired and all. And
oh, sure.
People passed him off. And he had his moments, you know, where it's like, oh, God, Ron, you didn't really just say that, did you? But, you know, I think when he announced his retirement, a lot of the establishment, and especially the neocons and the ones who would, you know, the elites, probably breathed a sigh of relief. And I actually kind of enjoy the humor of it to think, oh, yeah, it's like Crazy Ron's gone. Oh, crap. Now there's like half a dozen of him up here.
I find that fascinating, too. And, you know, I think you bring up an excellent point. Ron Paul brought the show around. He's the one that brought the show to the forefront. Audit the Fed, all the different things he's doing on behalf of liberty and Constitution. Now you've got other people that are finally fresh in Congress that are carrying that banner forward. And I'm glad you brought kudos to Ron Paul, because I think that's something we need to have. We can see what happens long term when you've got a Rand Paul, a Tom Massey, a Justin Amash, and others who are finally getting elected to carry on Ron Paul's message. So I agree with that. That's it for tonight, folks. Tomorrow night, 7:00, Dale the Truth will be here. Make sure you tune in, guys. It's going to be a wild show with all this stuff going on with the NSA. I can promise you that. We'll also be getting into some police issues. I am now allowed to talk about that, so we'll start focusing on that over the next week or so and bringing your stories to you right here on that. And then Thursday night, I'm going to have to get that on podcast.
Woo-hoo!
Well, you'll get it on podcast. We'll also be able to write about it as well on the website. So we'll put out the whole story there as well at LouisvillePolitics.com. Don't forget, while you're at the website, to join our RSS feed and our newsletter, and we'll make sure you stay up to date. In the meantime, that's a wrap. Mr. Martin, I'll talk to you next week as usual.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks to our good friend Mayo for tuning in and calling in, and everybody that listens into the show, you know, everywhere. Don't forget to check out Stitcher and iTunes for replays. That's it. Have a great night. Take care, folks.